Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. Did you know that my business began as a meal planning dietitian? Today on the Say Grace podcast, I'm going to share all of my tips and secrets for meal planning for weight loss so that you can use them to create the best meal plans for yourself. Hey y'all. Okay, so this is a podcast I've been wanting to do for a while with you guys. I actually started Perfect Fit Nutrition as, you know, meal planning for weight loss. So way back when, I would literally meet clients. This is when I still had a full-time job. I would meet clients on my lunch break or in coffee shops after work or whatever, whenever time allowed for both of us. And we would work together for weight loss. And so the way that I worked with them, because I could not be as present for them. I mean, the internet life was really not, or weight loss on the internet wasn't as popular as it is now. And so the way that I made sure that I could be there and assist them in the best way possible was I meal planned. Okay. I provided them several plans for weight loss, gave them all the recipes, all the tip sheets that they needed. I literally handed them like a packet and was like, here, take this and, you know, be your best, you know? It was awesome. And honestly, the demand got so high for it. And at the same time, I was also starting these online weight loss challenges. And so with the family and all the things, I had to make a choice eventually for time demands. And I had to let go of my meal planning days. You know, and so also, like, meal planning takes some time as a dietitian when you're trying to plan appropriately for the client and their needs. And so, you know, I would only be able to write like a handful of meal plans for it to be affordable for them and my time. And then after a while, like, you get kind of sick of eating the same handful of meal plans, right? And we all know that trying to stick to the same plan over and over and over again gets boring, and eventually you stray. And so I have been wanting to do this podcast because I know that in January specifically, but probably all the time, y'all are out there looking for any resources that are available to help you on your weight loss journey, right? And so oftentimes we look for meal plans. We look for sample meal plans to help get us started. Oh my gosh, if I had a dollar, how many people have said, if you would just write me a meal plan, I feel like I could really do this. And I'm like, no, you can really do it without the meal plan. You write yourself a meal plan and you can really do it, you know? And so I know that feels overwhelming and I know that feels very hard, okay? And so today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how to make it feel easier for you to be able to step into creating a plan for yourself that works based around just a few things that are needed, solid foundation, I would say, that are needed. And then you can, you know, work to create plans and, you know, meals and schedules, all the things that work for you. So I'm just going to kind of run through some of my steps, some of the way that I did things and give you some ideas for these. And so the first thing that we always did, okay, that when I sat down with a client, the very first thing that I did with them is an assessment, okay? So if you are a Perfect Fit client now, you know, we do an assessment at the beginning. You have to fill out your account is what we call it now on the app and everything, but you fill out your assessment information, okay? We need to know about you because it matters, okay? This is number one reason why you do not need to get on the internet and find somebody else's meal plan, because they may be a bodybuilder, sis, and you may not have looked at a pair of weights in 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's very different. I had back then, and still today do, have a lot of like night shift nurses or, you know, working moms, or, oh my gosh, I had so many people who worked on the road. And so a lot of their intake involved drive-through, you know, and so all this matters. And so that's the way, the first thing we did every time was we sat down and I got an assessment done. Okay. So we talked about all of their health and life issues. Okay. Like, do you have diabetes? Are you pre-diabetic? Do you have high cholesterol? Do you have any metabolic issues? Like, what's your height? What's your weight? You know, all these things that kind of encompass them as an individual, because none of us have the same metrics in that area. And then from there, I get them a calorie and macro number based on that information. Okay. All of it together matters because, for instance, let's say you're 35, you weigh 240 pounds, and you're trying to lose weight, okay? But I have another client who's also 35, weighs 240 pounds, and is trying to lose weight, but she's also diabetic, or she's also got high cholesterol, or she's also recovering from a major surgery, okay? All of these things matter. Your needs are not going to be the same, even if they may look very similar on paper, okay? And so it matters in that context to really like work with a dietitian, work with an expert, somebody that can really provide you with the detailed calories and macros that you need for your current life, not just something you found on the internet, right? And that's why we still do this in our program today. As many clients as we have coming through our program, I mean, our sweet dietitian, Stacy, this is her main job, is she gets new members set up with their numbers and she reassesses our ladies as they continue to lose weight, because when you lose weight, you need that reassessment. And so I cannot drive home how important that is. There are so many people that will start a weight loss program based on like some generic number and then get discouraged because it's hard or it just doesn't fit their lifestyle. And it's the same with a weight loss meal plan. If they start a generic plan because they find it on the internet, so it must be accurate, right? And then it feels harder. It doesn't work, or it's just too much. And so we always do the assessment first. And not only is it beneficial for us as the experts to know, right? It's beneficial for you to be reminded how unique you are, how unique your needs are, how unique your habits are, you know, like to just be reminded that this is not a cookie cutter situation you're about to step into. Okay. And so from there, we get a rundown. How does your life operate? Okay. Because like I said, our night nurses are going to be way different than our stay-at-home moms. And they're going to be way different than our ladies who are working on the road 24/7. Okay. So I need to know, like, what is your schedule? What is your daily routine outside of food, right? What are you doing pretty consistently day in and day out? Because that affects food timing. That affects food intake. Do you eat breakfast? Do you not? Okay. Do you like oatmeal or do you hate oatmeal? Like, does Greek yogurt make you gag? Okay. All these things. Do you have a really picky husband? Does your kid have food allergies? And what are those allergies to those certain things so we can work around that? Do you have late work hours? Like, there are so many things in our life that affect our eating. Okay, whether we recognize it or not. You know, all the time we talk about in our program specifically, because it is a lot of moms in there. And, you know, like, are you at the ball field 3 days a week? Because if you are, please don't plan to cook some scratch-made healthy meal that takes an hour. Because you're not going to do it when you're exhausted and walk in the door at 7 p.m. to feed your family. You're going to say, oh, I'm too tired. I don't feel like cooking that when I get home. We're going to run through Wendy's. Like, that is what's going to happen. And so it's so important to make sure that you are in alignment with your schedule when you step off into planning meals for yourself, okay? And we also talk about, you know, like, do your coworkers like to go to Mexican? Do you know, or do y'all go out to eat several times a week? Or, and is this something you enjoy, something you really don't want to give up? Okay, then we need to plan for that. We need to plan for what you're going to order when y'all go to McAllister's or when you go to Mexican. Or, you know, we need to plan for the items that you're actually going to consume when you go to these things, instead of saying, I'm just going to stop doing that. Because you're not. You're going to want to do that. You're going to want to go with your friends. And then what's going to happen is if you say, oh, I'm just not going to go out to eat on lunch with my friends. I'm just going to bring my lunch. Well, then one day you're going to, quote, forget lunch, or maybe on purpose forget lunch, right? And then you're going to go out to eat Mexican with your friends. And then you're going to order what you usually order because you have no other idea what to order. And you also feel like you deserve it because you've been deprived so long from this Mexican date with your friends. And then you're going to eat it. You're going to feel bad about it. You're going to feel like a failure. You're going to go into that mental, you know, spiral that we tend to do when we make a mistake. Okay, so it's better to just get ahead of these things. Get ahead of what your normal life, your normal situation looks like before we make the plan, right? Because as good as it feels and sounds in the moment to say, like, you know, I'm going to change. I'm going to make this lifestyle change. I'm going to stop drinking wine at night. I'm going to stop going through fast food. I'm going to cut out sugar. I'm going to do, you know, as good as that feels in the moment, it often sets us up for feeling lost, overwhelmed, stressed out, and like a failure when a glass of wine does present itself, when somebody brings you brownies and you're about to start, so you really are going to eat them. You know, it gives you, you know, overwhelm around that topic when you have set out to follow maybe some cookie cutter meal plan that looks and sounds good because you only take in 10 grams of sugar a day or whatever, when that's not reality to your life. Okay. And so that's, we assess, we do a full rundown of how your schedule is, how your routine is, your food likes and dislikes, how your family affects that. And then do you eat breakfast? Do you love dinner time? Do you love lunch? Like, some people are like, I really love breakfast. You know, like, it just depends on the person. For me, dinner is my favorite. I just love dinner, probably because I love to get in there and just kind of cook it and then have time with my family. It's like when we're all kind of still together most days. Do you love a glass of wine at night? Do you often drive through fast food because you don't have a lot of time? Or do you host clients out to eat a lot? Like, all these things. Okay, so we run through that and it forces them to get honest with themselves and with me about where they currently are in life and look at, like, okay, am I willing to make changes here for the long run? Like, yeah, it sounds good for 2 weeks, but for the long run, am I willing to never go to Mexican again? Am I willing to pack a cooler in my car every day for the rest of my life instead of go through the fast food line? Because, and there's no right or wrong answer, right? Because if you say, no, I'm not willing to pack a cooler in my car, then you're saying, okay, I'm going to continue to have fast food. So then we know our focus is, now what do we order when we drive through McDonald's? What do we order when we drive through Wendy's, when we drive through Chick-fil-A? What are some order options there? Okay, it's not a wrong answer to say, oh, I'm not dedicated enough for a cooler. Okay, it's just honesty. And you have to start at honesty in this situation. And so from there, we help them to kind of come to grips with the reality of what they're willing to do, not only now, but forever. Because if you do not make these decisions based on forever, then you are on a fad diet. You are on a quick fix. If you are seeking something that you're going to just stop doing fast food for a month or just cut out sugar or alcohol for a month, you know, something you know you're not going to stick to, you can't see yourself 3 years from now still not having a glass of wine, then you are on a fad diet and you are going to regain the weight, right? And so really encouraging, you know, you and them to look ahead to how they feel like their life could maintain whatever these changes we're talking about possibly making, okay? And so even to this day, again, our clients, when they come into our program, they do that for themselves, okay? And we are there to help them if they need help. We have a packet that they work through where they reflect on their lives. They look ahead on their calendar. They kind of see, what is my schedule going to be like? What are some things that might be barriers? What are my kids and my husband going to want to eat while I'm doing this? You know, we have them kind of lay all these things out like I just mentioned, so that then before they even begin the journey, they are able to recognize some of the things that they're willing to give up or some of the things that they're not willing to give up, they're able to recognize their barriers and then decide, okay, this is how I'm going to overcome that so that I don't fall victim to it. And then they are also able to step into this idea of, okay, I don't have to do X, Y, or Z to lose this weight. I can drive through the fast food lane instead of bringing my cooler if I, you know, tweak my snacks a little bit, or if I, you know, lower some of my fats in my breakfast or whatever it may be, okay? And so we still, to this day, we start that way so that everyone has a realistic view of their lives and they're not, you know, perceiving themselves as about to turn into some kind of fitness queen that they follow on Instagram, right? Because it's that reality does not last for very long, right? Okay, and then after that, I always had them complete a 5-day food diary, okay? And this was like before we started the weight loss process, which was really, this was probably the toughest part, because when they met with me, they were ready to roll, right? They're like, tell me what to eat, tell me what to buy, I'm going to the grocery store right after this, you know? And so they were gung-ho, they were motivated. It had taken them a while to mentally get there, right? And so now they're there. And so I encouraged them to do a 5-day food diary and be extremely honest. So write down as if you're not about to meet with your dietitian, as if you're not about to start trying to lose weight, as if you're not thinking about calories and all the things right now. Because to me, it was such a real life view of them and how they ate. And y'all, there were some things, I mean, people never ceased to amaze me. And in this time that I was doing this, I mean, I learned so much as a professional about, you know, like, because some dietitians, if they aren't working with real people, like if they're research based or if they're, you know, media based or all the, if they're not working with real people consistently, they forget what real people do. They forget how real people eat. They forget, you know, the secrets that real people are not telling them, you know, or the world or the internet for that matter, you know? And so for me, it was always so eye-opening to see how people would sometimes on their food diary, like start really well at the beginning of the day, like have a boiled egg and a piece of wheat toast. And then for lunch, they had this salad, but then it's like by nighttime, they were eating 5 Oreos in their bed. They were binging in the middle of the night. It was just all kinds of things that reminded me, like, hey, people are people, and they all have their own different struggles. And two, also, people have their own palate. They have their own flavors that they trend towards. They have their own foods that they trend towards. I got so tickled recently because I asked about on my personal Facebook page, I asked what people were making for dinner. It was a really cold day. And so many people said red beans and rice. We're in the South and we're close to Louisiana, and red beans and rice is a staple amongst a lot of families. My husband's family, they ate red beans and rice often growing up. But when I was growing up, I never ate red beans and rice. My mom didn't even know how to cook red beans and rice. And now I don't know how to cook red beans and rice. And, you know, and so it's so funny to think about from family to family how red beans and rice might be a staple for you. Like if you showed up and went 2 weeks in a row without having red beans and rice, your kids and husband gonna be like, where is that red beans and rice, mama? You know, whereas other people, it may be a different dish. And so it was always just so, I don't know, down to earth and encouraging and really pretty cool to just see kind of how people's taste buds and the things they ate and the things they ordered out, how it just spanned and was so different across the board based on the individual, which is really like what furthered me to dig my heels into the ground on this idea that we all have to be responsible for our own meal planning and our own food choosing, because we are all so different and left to our own devices without our dietitian or the internet or somebody else telling me exactly what to eat. We would all make different choices across the board. Okay, so it's very important to go back to that in order to create a meal plan and a weight loss lifestyle that you're gonna stick to. Okay. And so that's why if you join my program, I mean, we have several ladies that are outside of the South. Like we have like a New York lady. I mean, we have people all over, right? But majority of my recipes are going to be Southern focused because we eat Southern meals here, right? And so, yeah, that's intentional, you know. I personally don't know if I'd be able to do anything different, but because I am from the South, but you see what I'm saying. So we do the 5-day food diary. We come back together, okay? We kind of run through it. We because then I'm like, okay, now I see you had a Coke here every day, but you didn't tell me that you love Coke or that Coke is something we need to make sure we include. Like, that wasn't what you said in your assessment. And so then it'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to tell you that. Yes, I am addicted to Coke. So I have to have Coke every day. Okay. And so it just brings to light some things that maybe even they don't think about for themselves until it is right there in paper on black and white. And so we always encourage our ladies to just start tracking now in the program now. We encourage them to just start tracking or even just start writing down everything they eat just to get an idea of who you are and how you eat. Because sometimes I cannot tell you the number of people that have said, I really don't eat very much. I don't know why I'm not losing weight until they track it, write it down, look at it. And then they're like, dang, I have been in denial this whole time. You know what I mean? And so it's just seeing it in that black and white is so powerful and so eye-opening for coming up with things that you're not willing to give up, and then also seeing your habits. And so from there, after that point, that is when I meal plan, okay? So from there, we have looked at their habits. We know their needs. We know, you know, all the things that we need to avoid as far as, you know, because of family members or dislikes or all that. And then we also know what they must have, okay, based on looking at their journal and based on the things that they've said to me in honesty, okay? And so, for instance, the person who came back with a Coke every day, what do you think I would have built into her meal plan? A Coke every day, okay? Because, and let me tell you why, because I know some, if you're, you know, one of the hardcore diet people, you may have gasped just then, but let me tell you why. Because there are going to be other changes, okay? There are likely going to be other changes that this client is going to have to endure, okay? She might have to try to change her fried chicken on her salad to grilled chicken, okay? Because she didn't say, I got to have fried chicken every day, Constance, but I noticed, hey, she's ordering fried chicken a lot. I wonder if she'd switch to grilled chicken, okay? Or she might have to change her roll and potatoes side dish at dinner to just a potato or a roll and add a green veggie, okay? She might have to, you know, to lower those calories to increase those good nutrients, right? And so if there is something that she has displayed to me is of utmost importance, is something that it does not seem like she is going to be able to give up very easily. Now, if she had said, oh, Constance, I hate green broccoli, well, I would not have said add green broccoli to your dinner, right? But she didn't say that. She just said, I really have to have a Coke every day. Okay. And maybe, you know, this is what I eat for breakfast usually or whatever. So maybe a handful of other things. And we focus there and then talk about how we can build out from around that. So she is going to get a Coke every single day. Yeah. When we come back together a few weeks, a few months, a few whatever from now, if she says to me, Constance, I think I'm ready to start cutting down my Coke, then I feel like, oh my gosh, we have won the lottery. This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing, right? We're supposed to be, like I've been talking about, layering that cake with our changes, okay? But we cannot remove her Coke, make her have grilled chicken instead of fried, and make her have broccoli at dinner when she's, you know, hasn't been doing any of those things, and make her do it all at the same time, okay? Because that feels too heavy and it feels too stressful. And so my job as the dietitian is to make small changes for her so that she can see the weight loss, right? Because we're working in those parameters. We're working in those calorie needs still to see the weight loss, but make them easy enough and feel doable enough, because she still gets that Coke. you know, to want to keep going, to get that taste of accomplishment, to get that taste of reward for her efforts, and then want to continue to keep executing in this way. Now, I have some clients now, they've been with me for 3 years, baby, and they're still having that Coke every day at lunch. They are not giving it up, okay? And that is perfectly fine. That is perfectly fine because they have made adjustments in other areas. Sure, do we all want to strive to eat the best and the cleanest and the healthiest? Absolutely. But are we going to in reality? Probably not. Okay, probably not. And so it's super important for us to come to grips with that and say, I'm going to continue to have this Coke with my lunch until the Lord's divine intervention makes it taste like dirt. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is. And so some other things that we have just done, and my ladies, my current clients do for themselves. If you are a person that grew up eating dessert every night, okay, and now you are an adult that eats dessert every night, that is going to be one of the last things that I would recommend removing from you, okay? Because we are going to still have the dessert every night, okay? Because that has become a habit, almost like an instant bodily reaction. It's like, oh, dinner's over, it's time for dessert. That's going to be one of the hardest things to stop, okay? And it's going to make you feel weak, or it's going to make you feel like you're having to use up too much willpower every single night, okay? So we just keep the ice cream so that it doesn't feel overwhelming. And so when we say, okay, we're going to keep the ice cream, that's what we build in your meal plan first. Okay, we put the ice cream there first. You get it. Some of my clients will get in and they will track ahead for the whole week. They will add their for sure treats like this first. So they'll go through and they'll say, Monday, I'm putting in half a cup of ice cream. Tuesday, I'm putting in half a cup of ice cream. Wednesday, I'm gonna put in a brownie. Thursday, they'll put that ahead of anything else. So let's say they have 1500 calories. Well, then the ice cream comes in at 200 calories. So now they start their Monday knowing they have 1300 calories to work with. Okay. Because the ice cream is in permanent marker. It's not going anywhere. Okay. Because that is their priority, right? And so, yeah, if you get to the nighttime and you're like, oh, I'm so full, I don't even want my ice cream. Well, baby, we calling that a win. You know what I mean? And you can, you know, figure out what else you're going to do with those extra calories or move them to the next day or whatever. You know what I mean? But for the mindset piece and for the satisfaction piece and just knowing that, like, this isn't going to have to suck, right? We're going to go ahead and build in that ice cream and just adjust things around it so that it fits. Okay. And so that's what I did, that we would start a meal plan that way every single time, where I would build in, okay, I know this client said that she goes to the country on Tuesdays and Thursdays for work. So she's definitely going to be hitting a McDonald's then. So we're going to build in her McDonald's lunch on these days. Okay. Or, okay, I know my client loves a big, huge breakfast. Her family expects pancakes and bacon and eggs before school every morning. So we're going to build that in for her in the morning. And then we are going to work the rest of the day around that. Okay. So yeah, that might look like a lighter snack. Okay. Maybe something with higher fiber, but lower calories, maybe some higher protein so that she can get full and feel satisfied after that snack. But it's not going to be a 400 calorie snack full of junk, right? It depends on the person, because some people are going to be like, Constance, I got to have this certain junky snack. It's so good, you know, and then we will build around that, maybe giving that person a lighter breakfast, higher protein, high fiber, but lower on the fat situation. Okay. It depends on the person. And again, it depends on those items that they're so married to in the moment, to then make decisions based on the rest of the things, right? And so this is what I encourage our clients, I encourage our listeners, I encourage anybody to really think about this for themselves, because so many times people will come into a program, and even still sometimes in our program, I mean, it's one of the main reasons I set up this coursework, so that everyone would, I mean, I feel like I beat it over their heads, like this concept, before they really dive off and get started with us. Because you're so used to these norms, these weight loss norms, these trends of what it's supposed to look like losing weight. Okay, I'm about to start losing weight, so I guess I'm going to cut out carbs. I'm going to stop having creamer in my coffee. I'm going to work out every day. I'm not going to have dessert. I'm not going to have sugar. I'm not going to have alcohol. Like, those are kind of the norms, right? And so it's so easy to step into the next program with that same mindset. And what we do is different. Like, we just don't do it that way. It's different. And so, you know, when you come into my program and you're like, I need a lower calorie coffee creamer, the first thing that me, Stacy, which is our dietitian, or literally hundreds of our, you know, seasoned clients are going to reply with is, wait, is coffee like your favorite part of the day? Because if it is, don't change it. You know what I mean? Because that's it for me. Y'all, I drink Coffee Mate. Right now I'm on peppermint mocha, but probably in a few more weeks I'm going to switch it up to something else. We typically like the creme brulee around here too. Like, it is Coffee Mate. Yes, it got all the junk ingredients. Yes, I have tried every almond, oat, whatever, okay? And sometimes I can get down with oat milk, but I'm back on Coffee Mate because it's a flavor thing for me, because I've done accepted, like, I'm not going to switch my coffee creamer in the name of, you know, 25 calories. Like, I'm just not. And so, you know, it is very much a mindset and an anthem that we kind of just live by in there. And so, in fact, we had a girl the other day, she's like, okay, so now I just like put in my hamburger and my hamburger bun. Like, is this normal? And we're like, yeah, girl, have your hamburger and your hamburger bun. You know, like, so many clients were like, isn't this wonderful? Because she was new and just trying to figure it out, because she is so used to the other mindset that is not ours. So yeah, this is the way that I meal planned. And it is the way that so many clients saw success. They began to feel that freedom of still having the foods that they loved. They didn't feel so wound up, so bound, so dreading the day and dreading the nasty food, you know, because it wasn't nasty. It was food they picked. It was food they were willing to have, you know, and food that they felt like they were still getting treats and enjoying, right? And so, yeah, it's non-traditional. It's not the same as what you're used to, which you've probably heard before, but it works. And it works in a way of actually seeing the physical weight loss. But it also works in a mindset way, which is what is the mindset piece, the mental focus of weight loss is what is going to carry you on to continuing to see the weight loss, right? If you can get your mindset right around it, if your mind doesn't constantly say, oh, you're going to lose weight again, you're going to start a weight loss program again, this is going to suck, your life's going to be miserable, you're going to miss out on all these things. If you can get your mind out of that thought process, it's a game changer. And so that is what we did and do with this meal planning method. Because, you know, we are not equipped to follow, like, we are sinful humans, and we are not equipped to follow hardcore, strict eating rules to a T. Okay. Because if we were, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast right now. You'd have all the answers. And so what do? You got to give yourself that room so that you don't wind up feeling like a big old failure and like it's hopeless to lose weight, because that is not true. It you can lose weight. If you haven't so far, you haven't been doing it in a way that allows that mental freedom to enjoy food still while you are losing weight. So we meet our clients where they are. Start with what's most familiar and then, you know, work our way backwards. It is life-changing. You can ask any of them. It is absolutely life-changing. And y'all, it was life-changing for me when I finally stepped into this years and years and years ago, as a dietitian who wanted to follow all the hard rules, you know? So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode on how I meal plan for my weight loss clients. Next week, we're going to talk about how I meal prep for weight loss. So get ready for that one.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the food you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!